Every festive we wake up with the damn sparrows. But Nzala? No, she's up at 1 p.m. Kari. And we're like, but where you been though? Here opening pots like you cooked.
A combination meal. Inspired by seven colors, there's something for everyone. Nando's. Fired up. Kelman on
CliffCentral.com. And here she is. She looks fantastic. I mean, they did this whole thing. The bio says that you know, that you're a model, so on and so forth. But then it's like you're not the right height or whatever. You look fantastic. So I have no doubt that this modeling career of yours is going to be very, very successful, Adriana.
Thank you so much. I got to take it to the top and represent South Africa. You know,
that's it. So this is interesting. You are of Taiwanese, Italian, Scottish, and Shanghai descent.
Yes.
Born in Mozambique. Yes. But currently, and then high school in Lisbon and like Portugal and my, like, it's just a, I mean, just give me a snapshot of what these past 21 years have looked like.
Okay, so my dad is Mozambican. He's half Shangaan and half Taiwanese. My mom is half Scottish and half Italian. Born in Mozambique, as said, and then I was raised in South Africa, went to boarding school. Very crazy. And 17, I moved to Portugal. And basically, I moved to Portugal because essentially it was my dream to study in the U.S. Since I was like 8 years old, I went to Miami. I was like, this is a place for me. I want to study here. People thought it was a joke. Who's going to take an HL seriously?
Yeah.
So anyways, I told my dad about that. And he's like, okay, well, come to Portugal. It would be easier for you to get into the States if you study in this American school. And so that's what I did. And I spent my last 2 years, so grade 11 and grade 12, in Portugal. And I was at the American school. And I graduated on Dean's List. So luckily. And then I got invited to various universities all over the U.S. But Miami was where I wanted to be. So then 18, I went to Miami, and I've been there since.
I mean, for someone that's never been to Miami, how would you describe living in Miami? I think a lot of people think about it as like a place that you go on holiday. They think of the Will Smith song. they think about a weekend away. But what's the day-to-day like of living in a place like that? I mean, it looks like it pulsates.
Well, it's definitely party central. Yeah. It's a very tourist vibe, so people all over the world are there, so it's awesome for that. There's a huge like art industry and media industry that's on the come up right now, but like cost of living is pretty pricey. And like the not very positive side of Miami is that it's a very superficial city, so everything is it's that whole like rapper lifestyle about money and women and cars and this and that,
all that stuff. Yeah, like a Pitbull music video.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay,
and then you have to live with that, and you're like, okay. And then you see Rolls Royces, like Toyotas everywhere.
Okay. And you work with an app.
Yes.
That kind of splits people's bills in a club, and people usually drop like $2,000 to $3,000. You were saying, and
yes,
this app kind of, I mean, that's just an average day. That's like, well, I mean, now it's a little bit better since we got a new president of the ANC. The Rand's a little bit stronger. But certainly, that, I mean, it's, people really do live it up there.
100%. So, like, the biggest clubs in Miami are, like, Liv. And, like, okay, for a club like Liv, people will drop $5,000 minimum dollars. Okay? And the thing is, not everyone can afford that lifestyle. So, and obviously, people come to Miami, they want to live the lifestyle. So, what this app that I work for, okay, it's called Swarm. And what we do is basically, it's like a social network, but it's also like a party guide. So members of the app, and it's members only actually, you can split the bill. So if it's $5,000 and let's say there's four guys, you guys want to split it through the app, cool. And then you'll pay the bottles through the app. And then it's also a thing where, okay, so every member is allowed to invite other members onto their table. So even if you don't know this person, it's kind of like Facebook. So you're just going to send them a request and be like, oh, would you like to join my table? So...
Huh. Well, I mean, it makes it a little bit more affordable,
yeah,
which is good. Okay, so you're a model, you're studying there. What are you studying in Miami?
I'm studying business management.
Okay, yes. So this, and I haven't even brought in the reason that you're here into this, but it's interesting to paint a picture of you, because on the one hand, like, you're facilitating people in the club, then you're studying business management, then you're like hanging out in Miami, living your best life, and then you're back in SA, and you're working on an incredible campaign and an incredible message. The Amandla Action Campaign for Mzansi. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Okay, so basically rape right now is a very serious issue. And a lot of women are coming out about it like all over the world. And actually, we've so focused on what's going on in America that we don't actually pay enough attention to what's going on here in South Africa. And basically what this campaign is about is a lot of women, especially in like rural areas, they don't have the money, and the thing is the hospitals are not allowing for post-rape care. Mm. So no morning after pill, no testing, HIV testing, and no like therapy. And the thing about rape is, it's being a rape victim myself, it's very damaging to your mind, it's very damaging to your body. And what this campaign is doing is basically we just sign the petition so we can put it out there about how serious this issue is, and hopefully raise funds so that we can take care of all the women being raped who don't have the sufficient post-care.
Huh. I mean, you speak about the year that we've had with hashtag Me Too.
Yeah.
And it's always that age-old thing of, you know, it has to happen to one really famous person for all of a sudden everybody to care about that thing and to give it the kind of airtime that it deserves and try and make a difference within that space. And certainly, you know, this year it's really been brought to the fore, but this is a huge issue in our country. How does one begin to even address it so that we don't have the statistics that we have?
Wow, that's a very difficult question. I think the thing with rape is that it's really like people don't really want to speak about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel like we need to endorse more campaigns. We need to speak about it, like influential women, especially women in the ANC, celebs. You know, we need them to speak about it, and we need to raise money, honestly, so we can take care of that. And besides for that, to be honest, we have to raise our children, especially men, not to, you know, we shouldn't feel like we are victims. You know, like why being a woman, why do I have to feel scared that, oh, if I wear a certain outfit, I have to walk in the street and maybe I need to be careful so that I don't get raped. It shouldn't be like that. But it's also about how we raise our children, because it's a mentality.
How have you been able to get to a point where you're able to kind of speak about it, and not even just speak about it, become an advocate for changing it? Because there's quite a leap that happens between those two things. You know, there's the scenario of something as horrific and indescribable as that happens to you, and then you get to a point where I guess you'd be able to tell your immediate family and your friends. Then you get to a point where you're able to tell, you know, someone that you meet, and then you get to a point where you become an advocate for changing that. And certainly that's an incredible trajectory to take with something that is so personal to you.
Well, okay, so I was 10 years old when I was raped. So that was really, it was something that I couldn't understand. But obviously, like, I had PTSD from that, and I didn't want to ever speak about it, and I was angry. And then I went to therapy, like different therapists here and there, and like no one could really get through to me. And then I realized that there are a lot of women going through this thing. I need to speak about it. So I first started speaking to my close friends about it. And then I just started to become like more comfortable with myself, like on this process of loving myself, you know, not letting what happened in the past define me, because now I'm starting to understand it. You know what I'm saying? This is now 15 or so. And recently, like, to be honest, like you said, with this hashtag of Me Too, that was a point where I actually went on Facebook and I explained what had happened, and I explained, like, listen, you can't let this define you. You know what I'm saying? And it really did take a long time. And the thing is, you really have to forgive yourself and forgive the person, you know, who did this. You can't live with this hate in your heart, and that's really, really difficult, just to accept what happened. But honestly, like, what I've been doing, like, my end goal is really, like, to create, like, a safe haven for depressed individuals, abused individuals, and rape victims. So make it something like, not exactly a rehab, but like a wellness center. So this is something that's been in my mind for the longest time, and it's just like, when I have the sufficient funds, I really want to create a place like this in South Africa where people can go to for therapy and not feel like there's something wrong with them.
You know, we're living in a day and age where people can't put a photo on social media without photoshopping it. I mean, that's, you know, Instagram, you photoshop a photo, and it's funny. It's like, oh, Valencia, and otherwise I can't post it and all that stuff. But it's ironically, you know, we're living in a time where it's very easy to express your vulnerabilities in terms of who you are, things that you've been through. But we're also living in a time where people are very conscious of how they're perceived, and a little bit less likely, I think, sometimes to be honest until someone takes the lead or until there's a hashtag to connect that story to. How have you become better at kind of just authentically representing yourself and not being overly conscious of how people are going to take it, but doing that which enables you to be as true to yourself as you possibly can?
Okay, well, this, like, to be honest, we live in a very, very superficial...
And you're in the thick of it in Miami there. Yeah, you really exactly. are. Yeah.
We live in a very superficial world. And like you said, like, in Miami, everything is about the Photoshop. Everything is about the big booty, the big boobs, and living that kind of lifestyle. And you know what? Like, when I first went to Miami, I'm like, whoa, like, I'm nothing like these girls. You know, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to do anything. Do I need ass shots? I don't know.
Ass shots.
Yeah.
Is where you get like a bigger ass.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But so they take the fat out of somewhere else in your body wow. and they inject your ass.
Jeez.
And that's better than the implants. But like, that's a very big thing in Miami and it's only $2,000. So like almost every girl has it.
Jeez.
And honestly, it's
I'd
very...
be afraid to sit down. Like, I don't, I'm just like, you know, it's like having an airbag. And anyway, that's a story for another day. Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't know. Like, I felt really self-conscious and I'm like, you know what? Like, every second girl is beautiful in Miami. Everyone has had plastic surgery. Everyone knows how to do their makeup and I'm still here struggling to put on eyeliner. I'm like, what am I going to do? But honestly, like, to be real, like, it's something rare now.
Mm.
So being comfortable in your skin is rare. And I won't lie, like, being on Instagram, like, sometimes I'm like, yo, should I Photoshop this? Should I make myself look skinnier? Should I do this? And I'm like, you know what? That's not me. That's not me. I'm not going to try pretend to be like someone I'm not. I'm not going to try, like, and the thing is, if you're going to Photoshop yourself on Instagram and someone meets you in person, you know what I mean? You're not trying to be a catfish in 2018. We're going to leave that in 2016. We're not coming back to that. So really, it's just, I'm saying, just be genuine, just accept yourself and like, don't follow these trends.
Well, listen, it's been very, very cool to meet you. And certainly, it seems like your trajectory is fantastic. At 21, just really like soaring and conquering and apps and Swarma and studying and, you know, partaking in very, very strong social initiatives. Just to kind of land it with the call to action, the thing that you want people to do after this interview and this conversation with you, what is it that you want people to do?
Okay, well, in terms of, for instance, in terms of the modeling industry, for me, it's been super difficult because I'm not the right height and I have too many tattoos and I'm not the right look or whatever because, like, I'm mixed race, but I don't have that curly afro that right now is in the trend. And I'm like right in between, like I can pass for mixed race, I can pass for white, but then I like don't have white features and I'm like, what's going on, you know? And like agencies are really looking for a specific look. And in this industry, like I just realized, like actually in any industry, if you have the mindset to win, you'll win. You have to. And the thing is, like what I told myself is failure is not an option. And there are times like where things are going to be difficult and there are times where you're not going to succeed at the pace that you want to, but it's all about like not giving up, because you never know when your next break is. You never know when your next opportunity is. And sometimes it's really just being about being in the right place at the right time. Sometimes it really is about luck. And your hard work will be recognized. So like, honestly, like this sounds cliche, but really just never give up. Because 2 years ago, I'm like, what am I going to do with my life? You know, like no agency wants me. I'm just sitting here, you know, I really want to do this and no one believes in me. And now I'm like, okay, cool. Now still no huge agency like in America like wants to sign me. But I'm like, listen, I'm going to make it with or without them. And that's what I'm doing. So just...
Fantastic. Well, I think everybody's with you and following your trajectory. How do we keep up with you all day on social media?
Okay, well, on Twitter and on Instagram, I have the same handle. So it's _HADEEZ_. And then...
Hades. Oh, wow. Not your name. What's the symbolism of Hades?
It's the god of the underworld.
Okay.
Greek mythology.
Jesus.
But I just... I just switched it up a little bit, gave it some swag. So
underscore Hades underscore.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank all right. So well, much. Listen, thank you so much for stopping by. That's Adriana Spisato Wang of Taiwanese, Italian, Scottish, and Shanghai descent, studying in Miami, working in the clubs in Miami, part of incredible initiatives socially in South Africa as well, and the next big thing, I guess. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for your time.
This is CliffCentral.com.